Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 14. This is verses, text number 34 is on the board, or is it 37 on the board? Let's see, it's 37, so we'll do 37. So I'll read the 34th verse, and then we'll go on. Now that I can understand this philosophy, no more shall I eat dirt. Whenever I am hungry, I shall suck your breast and drink your breast milk. So Lord Chaitanya, this is the previous pastime where the Lord was eating dirt. His mother says, why are you eating dirt? I got nice sweetmeats. He said, what's the difference between dirt and sweetmeats? It's all the same. He was speaking Mayavad philosophy. And his mother was really... And then she defeated him. She said, if you eat dirt, you get sick, but if you eat sweetmeats, you become happy and healthy. And then he said, thank you for teaching me the right philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya was playing the role of the Mayavads, who say everything is one. Just like if everything is one, whether you have the money or I have the money, it doesn't matter. I think our Giriraj Swami Maharaj was preaching one day. He was distributing books, and the person started getting to a full. And so he said, it's all one, it doesn't really matter. So Giriraj said, all right, just give me all your money, it doesn't matter who, whether it's your money or my money, because it's all one. So he did. He gave all the money just to uphold his bogus philosophy. And then he came to the temple later asking for some bus fare because he needed to go somewhere. So the bus driver didn't think it was all one. So this is the foolishness of that philosophy. But Lord Chaitanya was taking that role to be defeated by his mother. So sometimes we take the role of the other side and accept defeat just to help understand what is the actual truth. And that way, if a really intelligent person takes the part of the wrong side and accepts defeat, then everyone can accept, oh, that this is not right. So that's one way of teaching through the reverse, to the negative. So Lord Chaitanya did that. After saying this, the Lord, smiling slightly, climbed onto the lap of his mother and sucked her breast. Thus, under various excuses, the Lord exhibited his opulence as much as possible in his childhood. And later, after exhibiting such opulence, he hid himself. So now today's verse. On one occasion, the Lord ate the footsteps of a Brahmin guest three times. And later, in confidence, the Lord delivered that Brahmin from material engagement. Purport. The story of the deliverance of this Brahmin is as follows. One Brahmana, who was touring all over the country, traveling from one place of pilgrimage to another, reached Navadvipa and became a guest in the house of Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra gave him all ingredients for cooking, and the Brahmin prepared his foodstuffs. When the Brahmin was offering the foodstuffs to Lord Vishnu in meditation, the child Nimai came before him and began to eat them. And because of this, the Brahmana thought the whole offering spoiled. Therefore, by the request of Jagannath Mishra, he cooked for a second time. But when he was meditating, the child again came before him and began to eat the footsteps, again spoiling the offering. By the request of Jagannath Mishra, the Brahmin cooked for a third time. But for the third time, the Lord came before him and began to eat the food again. Although the child had been locked within the room and everyone was sleeping because it was late at night. Thus, thinking that on that day Lord Vishnu was not willing to accept his foodstuffs and that he was therefore ordained to fast, the Brahmin became greatly agitated and cried out aloud, "Hoi! Hoi! What has been done? What has been done?" When Lord Chaitanya saw the Brahmana in the agitated state, he told him, "Formerly, I was the son of Mother Yasoda. At that time, you also became a guest in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and I disturbed you in this way. I am very much pleased by your devotion. Therefore, I am eating the foodstuffs you have prepared." Understanding the favor offered to him by the Lord, the Brahmin was greatly pleased, and he was overwhelmed with love of Krishna. He was thankful to the Lord, for he felt himself greatly fortunate. Then the Lord asked the Brahmin not to disclose the incident to anyone else. This is very elaborately explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Lila, Chapter 3. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Badantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So one of the important principles that Lord Chaitanya wanted to keep intact, or actually not so much keep intact, but dispel the wrong conception about. Because at that time there was a lot of what we say Mayavads. And the Mayavadi, we can't call it philosophy, but the Mayavadi way of understanding Shastra is that the living entity, being also spiritual, is in one sense one with God, and therefore is also God. Our philosophy is achintya, beda, beda, tattva, that everything is simultaneously one with and different from. And the word achintya means it's inconceivable. So if something is one, then it's one. If it's different, it's different. But the Vaishnava philosophy teaches that everything is both one and different, simultaneous. And therefore, the principle is that the living entity is qualitatively one with the Lord, but quantitatively different. In other words, we have the same essence of the Lord, but Prabhupada would use the example as a spark to a fire or as a drop to an ocean. Although the qualities are the same, the quantity and the power is, won't we say, quite different, or quite vast and in magnitude. So here, this idea that simply by practicing meditation, performing great austerities, studying the Vedas, and detaching them oneself from all material activities, one can realize themselves as God. And that was very strong at the time of the Lord Chaitanya's appearance. In fact, the Dvaitacharya was very, very disturbed, seeing the climate of the time. People were practicing spiritual life either to become God or to get material benefits. These are the two deviations in spiritual life. One is that one practices spiritual life to improve their material life. Get a good wife, good husband, nice family, good money, secure position, good health. This is called karma mishra bhakta. That means it's mixed with the desire for personal material gain. It's not pure devotional service. It's not the goal of the shastra. It's not the goal of devotional service. Although it's little better than just simply enjoying material life freely without any responsibility or trying to. Still, using the principle of spiritual life and trying to gain material happiness or material, what we say, prosperity in one form or another, is a deviation from the true principles of religious life. And we might even say, and rightly so, that most people come to spiritual life with that desire to make a better material arrangement. Hopefully, through the process of education, one starts to understand that the goal of life is to love Krishna. That is the only goal, prema pumartha mahan. To develop one's natural love for Krishna by serving Krishna and by glorifying Krishna and making Krishna one's goal in life. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanapran. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father. Krishna is that treasure of your life that you have been looking for in so many different ways. Now, here it is, Krishna. So this is actually the goal of spiritual life. There's no second goal. is to somehow or other awaken our natural love for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Saru Kabunoi Sravanari Siddhi Chitte Kodiye Yudoi. To love Krishna is natural. It's more natural than breathing. Breathing, it comes with the material body, and the material body is not natural. But our soul is actually our essence, and that the essence of that soul's existence is love for God. And to come to that stage is perfection. To fall short of that means that one must continue in this world until they actually reach that stage, life after life. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to very strongly dispel these two illusions, material gain through spiritual life, and especially this idea that you practice spiritual life to become God. One cannot become God. God is God. One can at best become the servant of God. And it is understood by Lord Chaitanya's appearance that he taught this principle that becoming the servant of God is better than being God. It's more wonderful. In the role of his perfect devotee, Srimati Radharani, he's taking that position to taste what is the happiness of love and service to God. So he's showing by example that to be a pure devotee of the Lord is more desirable than being the Lord himself. And even God wants to be his own pure devotee. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's what he taught by his appearance through the process of Harinam Sankirtan. And so here, this particular pastime is interesting because the Lord is only 3 years old in this pastime. This one that's mentioned here. And he hasn't performed really any, what we say, activities outside of his household relationship with his family members like that. So he's performing a little here and there. But now, he does something for the first time. He reveals himself and who he actually is to this Brahmin. And who is this Brahmin? Nobody really knows because it doesn't really describe him. But Krishna, and it's explained in his pastime, this Brahmin was serving the Lord life after life. And he would carry a little deity of Gopal around his neck on a string, on a chain, along with the Shalagram Shila. And he would travel from place to place. He had no home, he had no fixed residence, and his only goal was to go everywhere and to glorify the Lord and worship the Lord. That's all. And he chanted this mantra called our kirtan, what was it? Ram Nisringa was chanting today. And he was chanting, Gopala, 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 Gopala. I was thinking, this is perfect for the class. And it's also the mantra that this Brahmin was chanting, six-syllable mantra. No, that's a three-syllable mantra. Gopala. What's the six-syllable mantra? The eight-syllable mantra is the line of the Gayatri mantra. And that's the 16-syllable mantra. The six-syllable Gopal mantra is Gopala. Jai Gopala? Gauranga Gopala? No. Govind Gopala? Govinda Gopala. Govinda Gopala. Could be. Doesn't really mention it. But six-syllable Gopal mantra he would chant constantly in his mind, and he would deeply meditate on the form of the Lord within his heart. Now he's wandering everywhere. He comes to the house, he comes to Navadvip, into the house of Jagannath Mishra. And he decides to see what it's like in this house. And so he knocks on the door and he's welcomed. Oh, a brahmana, please come in. Jagannath Mishra is so pleased. Oh, you have been traveling? Yes, I've been traveling. I've been fasting for 3 days. Oh, please. It is our great fortune to give you the opportunity for us so we can serve you. So let me prepare everything and you can cook for your deity of Gopal. The Brahmin was very pleased. At first he said, well, you know, I only cook occasionally. Most of the time I just eat fruits and roots, whatever's available by God's arrangement on the trees and within nature. But I've been fasting for 3 days and I would like to offer my little deity, Gopal, some nice cooked prasadam. So you may prepare the kitchen. So Jagannath Mishra took all the servants and pushed them out, and he did it himself. He cleaned the whole kitchen, he arranged all the boga, he got all the spices, he got everything, and now everything was set for the offering. And so the Brahmin begins to cook, and he finishes his cooking. He cooks rice, that's all. He cooks this nice pot of rice for his deity. He puts his deity down, he puts the rice down, he sits there and he starts chanting the mantra to offer the rice. While he's doing that, little Nimai comes running out. He's dressed in the four directions. He comes and he starts taking the rice and eating it. And he's smiling. Hi, hi, he yells out. I don't want to do that because I don't want to scare anybody, but he was screaming, hi, hi, what's happening? The offering is spoiled. Look what this child has done. Jagannath Mishra is alerted. He comes, he sees little Nimai. He's like angry. He takes a stick and he's chasing after Nimai. Nimai's running, he's fast. And the Brahmin says, no, 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 he's only a little boy. He doesn't know anything. Don't punish him. You shouldn't do that. It's okay. It's actually my destiny not to eat today. God is telling me through this boy I shouldn't have to cook. So that's fine. No, no, no. Jagannath Mishra is beside himself with anxiety. Guest comes to the house. He welcomes the guests. He prepares everything, and his little child spoils the whole thing. How does he feel? My God, we've committed offense to this Brahmin. This is worse than what I could possibly consider worse. So he's beside himself. And Nimai just runs away. And he runs into the arms of the ladies in the house. And he's there. And he's smiling. And his father kind of just backs off a little. And now Jagannath Mishra is insistent. No, please, I will prepare everything again. We'll clean the kitchen again. We'll get the boga fresh, everything. So he does that. And he prepares that. The Brahmin says, okay. He allows it. So this time, you know, Nimai's with all the ladies, and they're passing him from arm to arm, and he's smiling, and he's having a good time. So Jagannath Mishra's thinking, he's okay now. He's not going to do anything. So the offering is done. The Brahmin sits down. He rings the bell. He starts chanting the mantra, and he calls, Gopal, please come. Somehow Nimai just appears again and starts again eating the offering with full enthusiasm and a great smile on his face. The Brahmin's yelling, hi, 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 hi. Which means, what's happening? And sometimes they translate the word hi as abominable, like, this is terrible. This is not good. So Jagannath Mishra comes out, and then he realizes the boy did it again. So he takes the stick, and now he's twice as angry. And he's running, and Nimai's speeding away. The Brahmin is just... And then Nimai runs into the room, and he locks the door on the inside. And so Jagannath Misra locks the door on the outside. Because, you know, in Indian houses, there's doors on locks on the inside and the outside. So, and then Jagannath Misra, oh, he can't even speak. He holds his head. His mind is so disturbed. Jai Sisi Gornitai Ki Jai. And now, the Brahmin, he's thinking, it is evident Krishna doesn't want me to eat today. I must fast. Jagannath Misra wants again to persuade, listen, please save our reputation, save our honor, please cook again. We want you to be happy. You are a guest, you are a Brahmin, you are a great devotee of the Lord. Please, if we offend you, what will be our destiny? So he's besides himself. It's described in detail. If you read the third chapter of the Adi Kanda, as it's mentioned here as a reference, he couldn't even look at the Brahmin. He was so overwhelmed with grief. He was holding his head, and his head was down. You can imagine how disturbed he was. Very respectable guest, and now twice his little son ruins everything. So now he's determined, I'm not going to cook again. I'm not going to cook and offer again. Jagannath Misra tries again. Please cook again. No, I'm not going to cook again. This is evident. And we have to understand that this is Krishna's arrangement. He's deep in devotion, so he understands whatever happening is the arrangement of the Lord. So the arrangement is, I'm not supposed to cook today. But Jagannath Misra is insistent, but he's not changing. Finally, what happens is something wonderful starts to happen. Vishwaroop, the older brother of Lord Chaitanya, comes walking in the room. And as soon as he walks in the room, my God, the Brahmin practically falls over. Who is this boy? He is so beautiful, and he has such an effulgence. And Jagannath Misra said, well, that's my older son. Oh, and then Vishwaroop says, my dear Brahmana, you are our guest. And we feel so unhappy that you're not able to perform your puja and offer to your deity. Please cook again. Oh no, I can't cook again. It is 1:30 in the morning. It's too late to cook. I'll just take rest. Please, I beg you. We can guarantee Nimai, he's fast asleep. In fact, he's so fast asleep, he will not even detect anything. And somehow, he wasn't convinced by the words, but when he saw Vishwaroop, he was so beautiful, and he's speaking with such love and such affection, that he says, all right, I'll cook again. This time, all the ladies in the house are sleeping. Nimai's in his room. He's fast asleep. Jagannath, everybody, the whole house is quiet now. Everything's prepared. He cooks again. And he's cooking. It's late. He starts cooking at 1:30 in the morning. You can imagine. Finally, he finishes it, laboriously, trying to finish for the third time. Just to please everyone in the house. So finally he puts the offering in front of his deity. He sits down. He starts chanting the mantra. And guess what? Nimai comes running in again. And then he takes a handful of the rice, puts it in his mouth. The Brahmin went, He couldn't even exclaim his anxiety. He was just, oh, he done it again. And then Nimai says, what are you doing? What is the matter? You're calling me by my mantra, and I'm coming to accept your offering. So here I am. And then the Brahmin's thinking, what is he talking about? And then the most miraculous thing happened. The whole scene changed. It wasn't the house of Jagannath Mishra anymore. It was Vrindavan. Nimai expanded his Vrindavan lila, and all of a sudden there were birds and waterfalls and rocks and trees and gopis and gopas walking around. And there was little Krishna in the middle of the whole thing, and he appears before this Brahmin with eight arms. He's got eight arms. It's not only Krishna, but it's Krishna in an eight-arm form. And with four arms, he has the four symbols, the chakra, the conch, the lotus flower, and the mace. Okay. He's got the four symbols, and in two hands, one hand he's holding a butter pot, and the other hand he's eating the butter, and the other two hands he's playing on the flute. So this is what the Brahmin is seeing. Immediately, he starts to cry out, ah, Krishna, and he just faints. He collapses, loses consciousness. He's overwhelmed with love and ecstasy. He's besides himself in ecstasy. He's unable to function. Finally, after a few minutes, he wakes up and the scene's still the same. This time he's so more overwhelmed, he starts crying. And it describes that he's crying tears of joy, and he's jumping and dancing and singing and calling. And Nimai's still like this. He's still giving that darshan. It wasn't a quick darshan. And he's just so happy. And he's trying to talk, but he can't talk. These are the symptoms of ecstasy. And there's mentioned that there are, of course, there are many symptoms of ecstasy, but there are eight principal symptoms. Rolling on the ground, shedding tears, paling in the body, and the skin becomes full of bumps and starts to protrude, standing of hairs on the end. So he was experiencing all eight symptoms at once. He's a great devotee, and now the Lord is appearing for him. And so he's so happy. Finally, he somehow or other, after some time, he composes himself. And the Lord says, I'm very much pleased with you. You have been my devotee life after life. You don't remember, but I do. You came to my house when I was with my father, Nanda Maharaj, and you cooked for me there, and I did the same thing. I stole your offering. In fact, you have been my devotee life after life. You have so much love for me, I cannot help but grant you this darshan of myself. The Lord was so pleased. And then the Lord went on, and he's like trying to speak, but he can't. He's overwhelmed with ecstasy. Finally, he composes himself, and he starts offering nice prayers to the Lord. And then the Lord says to him, now what I've shown you, you don't tell anybody. I have my mission, and I'm just beginning my mission now. So my mission is Gupta. I'm not revealing myself and who I actually am until the time comes. So don't say anything. The Lord was a little strict. And if you do, I'll have to relieve you of your body. So basically he said, I'm going to finish you. So the Lord was stern. He didn't want his mission being interrupted by someone. And so the Brahmin said, oh, and he said, finally the Lord disappeared and he went back to his little room. The Brahmin was in ecstasy. Now he's dancing. He's taking the rice and he's smearing it all over his body and he's crying. He's dancing, and finally he makes so much noise, or ecstasy noise, that all the household members come out and they see what's going on. They think, he finally got to eat. He's happy. And then he was thinking, wow, you're all so, he didn't say it. He said, you're all so fortunate. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead is your child. And then he was thinking, I should tell them because that way they'll become liberated. And I want to give them this benediction. But then he remembered, the Lord told me not to. So he remained quiet. Like this. So this was a wonderful pastime. And then that same Brahmin came every day. I think it was for 3 months. He came every day to see little Nimai. And he would play with Nimai and he would offer him something. And he remained quiet. He never really revealed that Nimai was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was one of the first leelas of the Lord where he actually revealed himself as the Supreme Person. And it was very rare. So we can imagine who this Brahmana is. So this is a wonderful one. You can read it, and as is mentioned here, in Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Leela, Chapter 3. It's such a sweet pastime. If you read it, you'll find it. There's actually at least 8 full pages describing this leela in full. How the Lord wants to reciprocate with his devotees. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushram Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakta Pranasyati Taraham Bhakta Uparita Asnami Prayatat Maraha. Prabhupada made it, it's not very hard to love the Lord. In fact, it's really easy. He said, you simply offer something very, whatever you have, offer it with love. That's all. My dear Lord, please accept this. This is for you. I don't have much. I don't have much devotion. I don't have much intelligence. I'm always doing the wrong thing. But still, I understand who you are, and I want to offer this to you. Simple little prayer like that. And Krishna will accept. And if we understand this principle and practice it in our devotional life, to try to, whatever we do, yad karosi aranasi yad jahosi dadasi yad tapasi tu kunti tad kurusham mararpana. Krishna says in the Gita, whatever you do, just do it for me. That's all. Do everything as a service to Krishna. And gradually, by doing that, what happens? We lose our attraction for this material world. Now that's dangerous. How many of you want to lose your attraction to this material world? I'm sure not everyone's going to raise their hand. And I'm glad we were honest. Because the material, to give up material attachments and the material desires, it's not so easy. Because these things are long-term. We have two natures. We have what is called our spiritual nature and our material nature. One is called conditional, one is called constitutional. Our constitutional nature is our spiritual nature. Our conditional nature is our material life after life in this material world. So we've been in this material world, how many lives? Countless. Countless lives. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, 8,400,000 species of life, you go through all of them till you reach the human form of life. You go through 8 million species of life. And so you were a bug that somebody stepped on one day. We don't even know what we were, right? We don't know who we were in so many lifetimes. But the soul is eternal, and the bodies are temporary. And so, to understand our spiritual nature and to practice that means to become disgusted or fed up with this material life of trying to enjoy the senses. Mitche mayara vese kacho habu bu bu bai. Jeev Krishna das, hey Vishwas, kolina dukanai. Mataji, can you know that verse? Mitche mayara vese kacho habu bu bu bai. Jeev Krishna das, hey Vishwas, kolina dukanai. It's Bengali. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks this verse just like, what we say, a straw is carried by the waves and meets another straw. And in that, two straws come together for a brief period, and then another wave comes and separates them. So life after life, we come together with friends, family members, and so many things in this world. And then in the next life, everything is like a new chapter. Start all over again. And then another chapter. And then another chapter. We forgot all these other chapters. And then we're in this chapter now. We think this is the real chapter. But then if there's another chapter, that one's real. So these material bodies and our sojourn in this material world is simply a form of punishment. That's all it is. But Krishna is so kind that even while we're in this punishment stage, he provides whatever we need, because that is his love for his devotee, or his love for the living entities. But a devotee thinks, what am I getting? How many lifetimes have I been eating? How many lifetimes have I been sleeping? How many lifetimes have I been mating? How many lifetimes have I been defending? How many mothers have I had? How many fathers have I had? How many friends have I had? And, who was I? Life after life, different roles. The body's changing, the soul is the same. The whole scene is just like one movie after another. So the understanding is now, with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how do we lose our attraction for this material world? Let's explore this principle a little bit. This is dangerous. But anyway, we do like to do things that are daring and dangerous. This is our Krishna conscious movement. They call us fanatics, and we are. What is that fanatic? We're fanatic for the right thing. If you're fanatic for the right thing, it's good. If you're fanatic for the wrong thing, then it's not good. So we want Krishna. That is actually the goal of life. We want Krishna. So how to lose our attraction for the material world? Here it is. Simply absorb yourself in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. By doing that, that's why Prabhupada gave us all these books. We can absorb ourselves in Krishna's pastimes, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, in Ram's pastimes. I was just during the kirtan today when we were chanting the mantra. I was thinking of Ram and his pastimes. I got absorbed in Ram Leela. I was just remembering Ram Leela, and I was just thinking, my God, Ram Leela is so full of adventure. Ram is so righteous. He is so loving to his devotee. Everything about Ram is amazing. And I was just thinking, I could get lost in Ram's pastimes. What to speak of Krishna's pastimes or Gornitai's pastimes? Any one of those pastimes, or all of them. Prabhupada has given us, the acharyas have given us this whole, what we say, I don't know, what's the word? A huge, unlimited ocean of spiritual nectar in the form of the Lord's pastimes and through these books. And if we just somehow take our time and read these pastimes and speak them also whenever the opportunity presents itself, then gradually this material world starts to fade. Because what's happening is our natural attraction for Krishna is being awakened by contact of Krishna through these wonderful leelas like that. Everyone likes a little baby, right? Krishna's baby pet. He's stealing someone's offering. He's mischievous, right? His father gets angry with him. This is one. It says Ananta Shesh, the multi-headed serpent on the bottom of the ocean, of the universes, holds the universes on his heads. And he doesn't even feel the universes, because each universe for him is like a little mustard seed. He's so big. And while, what else is he doing while he's holding up all the universe? He's chanting the glories of the Lord. He's chanting the glories of the Lord. And the Acharyas make this statement. They say that he doesn't repeat any of the glories. And he's been doing it from time immemorial. It says that Lord Chaitanya was performing a pastime every second. Every second. It takes a kind of, what we say, deep understanding to understand the principle of how he was performing a leela every second. A leela within the leela within the leela, like that. So here's the treasure. To hear and chant the glories of the Lord, along with chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. These two things, in the association of devotees, brings one to the spiritual world, to spiritual consciousness. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are a little easier to understand than Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes was a little harder to understand. They seem a little bit more far removed than in our experience, but Mahaprabhu is like us. He's performing these pastimes only 530 years ago with his devotees. And what are they doing? Chanting, dancing, taking prasadam, and performing various kinds of pastimes of Lord Krishna. Very easy. Well, Mahaprabhu's pastimes are so accessible. So this is what's available. So these pastimes are actually a great treasure house. Not that we have these nice sets of books in our house, and once in a while we take the feather duster and just make sure the dust is not there anymore. And then it looks nice. Each volume has a different color, so it has a nice pattern, and it just matches the wall behind us. And so, and then we get some more and we add, and so we have this nice big library, and then we just dust it once in a while. That's not the program. Read these books, chant. Prabhupada said he would reprimand us mildly, but very directly, that I didn't write these books for distribution. I wrote them for my devotees. He made that point. Of course, we distribute his books, and he wanted that also. But he said, it's for the devotees I wrote the books. So we have this great treasure to take some time and hear about these wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And, I mean, there's no dearth of information. It's unlimited. I think the biggest problem is where to start sometimes. There's so much. Should I read this or should I read that or should I come in? And it's like, you know, like our ISKCON movement is just like, there's like tons of stuff. It's so much. It's unlimited. So we can, if whatever taste you have, you can start from there and just relish the different leelas of the Lord, different activities of the Lord. And then we lose our attraction for this material world. Rupa Goswami says, don't go. Don't go. Don't go to the banks of the river Jamuna and see that beautiful threefold bending form of Shamsundar standing there playing on his flute with beautiful lotus eyes and a peacock feather and a beautiful yellow garment. Don't go. Because if you go, your material life is finished. He's using this reverse rhetorical type of expression to say, Krishna is so attractive that if you actually take a serious endeavor to take shelter of Krishna and hear about him, then all your problems are solved. There's two ways to solve the problem. One is to solve it. The other one is to not pay attention to it. So one of the ways to get rid of the material life is don't pay attention to it. Does that sound too brahmachari? It's not. It can be applied in any circumstances. That So here's how you, should I tell you the formula? This is the formula, how to live in this world and still be fully Krishna conscious. I haven't done it yet, but I know the formula. And it's given by Mahaprabhu himself. Mahaprabhu tells us this in the form of an analogy. He says, a wife has a husband, but she has a lover. Now, she's more interested in being with her lover than her husband. And so, her program is to somehow or other go to her lover, but she doesn't want her husband to suspect that she has this lover, so she does her duty to her husband very nicely, so he doesn't suspect something else. But in her mind, in her heart, she's absorbed in her lover, and always thinking, when will I go? She doesn't neglect her duty to her husband. She's a very dutiful wife. So the analogy is that we do our material duties very nicely, but in our heart we keep Krishna there. When can I be with the devotees? When can I chant? When can I serve like that? So that's the formula. Okay, any questions?